is the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Ops Pizza, Cunningham Jewelers, and by Mr. Shuck Seafood. And now, here's your host, Michael Spears.
All right, welcome into the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. My name is Mike Spears. This segment of the Wildcats Coaches Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, by Ops Pizza, by Cunningham Jewelers, and by Mr. Shuck Seafood. And now joining us, as always, the head coach of the Camden County Wildcats, Coach Jeff Herron. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
I am well. So, obviously, Coach, last Friday night was pretty intense and nail-biting. You know, I think that the atmosphere of that game perfectly summed up why football in this region is so great. It was obviously our first game in region play, and its importance couldn't be understated. Fans were literally on the edge of their seats. There was despair, and there was bliss. You know, take a few minutes and tell us what your takeaways from your team's 35-33 victory over Richmond Hill are.
Well, you know, it did kind of embody everything that's good with high school football.
Yes,
you know,
it did.
You had two good football teams, two good fan bases, you know, two good big bands, you know, cheerleaders. You had a great atmosphere, and two teams that played their hearts out. And, you know, that my takeaway from our team was this. You know, we did not play our best. I think we were a little sluggish at the beginning, especially from the off week. You know, we played good at times in the first half, but not great. In the third quarter, we scored the first play of the third quarter, and then we just kind of we let them dominate the third quarter, and then we kind of came back and dominated the fourth quarter.
Right.
So it was an up-and-down game, no question, and I'm sure the fans enjoyed it. And I enjoyed it, too, because we came out on the winning edge. But
right.
If that score had been reversed, I don't think I would have enjoyed it very much.
I agree with that. We'll do something a little different this morning, just kind of go through the game, you know, a little bit kind of quarter by quarter, because I thought it was interesting, like you said, about how we just had that kind of ebb and flow. So, you know, right out of the gate, coin toss, they win the coin toss and elect to receive the ball first. It seems like it's been good for us to, you know, be on defense first, kind of get that three and out or a short drive and kind of establish that first. Is that something, do you have a preference as to whether you begin the games like that?
You know, we typically, I say typically 99% of the time in my life, we will defer mm-hmm. to the second half. You know, statistically, they say that, you know, you kind of can steal a possession there because
yes, sir.
You can control maybe the timing of that last possession in the first half and then know that you get the ball to start the second half. So, you know, the referees always ask you in pregame what you want to do, and I said I want to defer.
Sure.
So when they came over to get the captains for the coin toss, the guy said, well, we don't really have to do this. He goes, they wanted the ball and you wanted to defer. So
how about that?
You know, it worked out. And you know, I've said this before, but when I was in college or grad school, I read an article on the percentages in favor of who kicks off first or has a better chance of scoring first, and that was true the other night. You know, we held them. They dropped a punt snap, and we drove down and scored and overcome a couple of penalties even and scored first. I just think the odds are in favor when you're on defense. Now, when you're playing a great offensive team, sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
Right.
You know, and again, even that study that I read, you know, the higher level from college to NFL, that stat evens out a little bit more. So, unfortunately, we're going to be playing like an NFL-type team this week. So.
Right.
who knows? We may try to – we may receive.
Do something different, huh? All right, this is the Camden County Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. All right, so, you know, we go up 7-0, 6:35 left in the first. Jordan Hardy, a 25-plus-yard touchdown run. Gabe Kaysen kicks the extra point. It's good. Camden leads 7-0. Make it through the first quarter, winning 7-0. At the beginning of the second quarter, they score, make it 7-6. They miss their point after attempt. They score again towards the end of the second half, and it's 13-7, Richmond Hill going in at halftime. because of the coin toss or the election, you know, we received the ball to start the second half, which is great in this scenario, because I think it was that first possession in the second half, because it was under a minute of gameplay, that Jordan Hardy had that long, you know, almost 80-yard touchdown run. Camden's now up 14-13, and there's bliss throughout the stadium. The crowd is roaring, everything's great. So moving through the third quarter now with 7:50 left, they score again and get the two-point conversion. So now they're up 21-14 halfway through the third quarter. And then we roll into the fourth quarter. They score again. It's now 27-14 with 10 minutes and 6 seconds left in the game. What am I, you know, we talked about how that last half of the fourth quarter seemed to last as long as the first 3.5 quarters combined with everything that was going on. There was just a tremendously, you know, crescendo building type of environment. But so 7:53 left in the fourth quarter. Parks Riendo throws the 35-yard pass to Nigel Cooper. Point after attempt is good. Camden now 21, Richmond Hill 27. You're starting to feel like, wow, tick, 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 the clock is ticking down. You know, we need something to happen. We need something to happen. And lo and behold, Giovanni Lewis has that fumble recovery. And that's got to, it really, you know, felt like momentum jumped off one shoulder and went to the other without, you know, once that fumble recovery took place. Did y'all feel that as well?
Absolutely. You know, they had done a great job all night protecting the football.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that was their game plan. They were going to be real simple, run right at us and try to run the clock and protect the football. And they had done a great job of it. And, you know, luckily they turned it over now. You know, I felt like that we had some momentum that we could have still scored. But because they turned it over and we had a short field, it sure made it easy to do quicker. And that's what happened.
Yes, sir. I think it was the very next play after that fumble recovery. Jaden Daly has the 15-yard or so touchdown run there. Point after attempt is good. Camden retakes the lead 28-27. And there's joy and bliss in the stands again. Everybody's feeling great. Camden gets the ball back again. And, you know, time is really starting to come down now. We're down, you know, under 4 minutes left in the game. And Jaden gets another long touchdown run. And, you know, as Coach Chastain and I are in the box there, we're thinking, you know, I wonder if they had a conversation with him to maybe try not to score. You know, could you have, you know, sat down and then, you know, run the clock out, kick a field goal, and you walk away with a four-point victory? Talk about that. It's got to be difficult to tell a kid not to score. And then number two, you might have even really been thinking about that from 50 yards out or 40-plus yards out.
Well, you're right about that. We did not think about it from that far out, but we should have. And, you know, looking back on it, when he scored, my first thought was that wasn't good, because now it gives them a chance with the ball again. And, you know, they, I think, were out of timeouts, you know, when there was around 3 minutes left in the game. So I felt like we could have really run the clock down and milked it, you know, and you know, taken a knee and probably ended the game and won by 1 point. But now all of a sudden we're up by 8 and we're having to kick back off and give them another chance. So, you know, I don't think, and, you know, Matt and I are good friends, their head coach. And,
yeah.
But I don't think he thought of it, and I don't think I thought of it. I know I didn't think of it until I saw him running for the end zone.
Sure.
And as soon as he did, I went, oh, my goodness, we should have discussed, you know, falling down inside the 5 and, you know, and make, keeping the clock running. But we didn't, but we have now.
Sure. You know, I think that's the same for all of us. Nobody really comprehended that or really thought about that until, you know, he scores and you look at the clock and you go, oh, my goodness, this team can move the ball.
Well, believe it or not, we've done it before. There was a playoff game here way back, and a young man named Eric Marshall, our fullback, same type deal, situation, and we had reminded him of that situation, and he ran it down to the 5, and he just – hunkered down, held the ball, and they had to come down there and tackle him, you know, inside the 5-yard line, and we ran the clock out in a playoff overtime game against Valdosta.
How about that?
So, you know, we knew, we should have, we just didn't think about it in the heat of the moment. We made a lot of mistakes mentally as a coaching staff toward the end of that game, because we hadn't been in one like that in a long time.
Right.
And, you know, hopefully we can learn from it and not do that again.
All right, more to come on the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Bo Sasser with Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery. calling a timeout for an important message. When it comes to sports injuries, our highly trained experts have years of experience treating all kinds of sports-related injuries. Plus, we have access to all the resources at Southeast Georgia Health System. So, if you suffer an injury, on the field or off, let us get you back to your game.
Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS, that's 1-855-275-7447, or visit sghs.org. Here at Cunningham Jewelers, we are like you, and we are Friday Night Light fans. Come find that special gift for that special person, no matter your budget. At Cunningham Jewelers, we don't settle for the field goal. We help you punch it in for the touchdown. So come on down to Cunningham Jewelers and let our friendly staff help you go for two. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652, or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
All right, welcome back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. My name is Mike Spears. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery and by Ops Pizza. So before we left for the break, Coach, we were talking about Jaden scores on that long touchdown run with 2 minutes and 59 seconds left in the game. Puts Camden up 35-27. So immediately following that, we kicked the ball out of bounds. Was that, were you trying to squib that, or was that just an error? Was that supposed to be a kick away, or?
Well, you know, the kickoff before, we had kicked it high and deep and pinned them inside the 15-yard line. That's what we were hoping for.
Got it.
No, we just a mistake.
Sure.
You know, not done intentionally by anybody or anything, but, you know, we kicked it out of bounds, and so the clock doesn't run, and they get it on the 35-yard line. It was not how we envisioned that drive starting there. So, they made some great plays.
Yes, they did.
Nick Bliss, the running back who was so talented, a receiver, to do everything guy for him, who's leading our region in scoring.
Got like 13 touchdowns or something crazy.
And, you know, he went up, and we had him triple covered, and he still caught the ball.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, put them down there in range to score.
Yeah, so get down there to score, and they do. So with 47 seconds left in the game, it's now 35-33, Camden on top. So they get the penalty when they try for the two-point conversion. There was something wonky about a timeout being called, but a flag had already been thrown, but they granted the timeout instead of the penalty, which was a little bit, you know, caused some consternation for some of us in the stands, but they get the penalty on the two-point conversion attempt, so it backs them all the way back out to, I think, the 18-yard line to try that two-point conversion. It fails, obviously. And then, you know, we're feeling great. A few seconds left in the game, and they perform an onsides kick that's successful, and the air is gone from the stadium again. Oh, my goodness.
Well, it was really frustrating. Again, I didn't feel like we handled it. You know, we went into full celebratory mode.
Yes, sir.
After we stopped the two-point conversion. But our kids and coaches, to some extent, we failed to consider the entire situation that, you know, now we still – they get a chance to onside kick it. So everybody's celebrating, going crazy, and our hands team, who we had two guys missing off of, we didn't have a chance to really talk to them like we should have and could have before the onside kick. And we had some guys that weren't in their normal positions, that sort
sure.
of thing. And lo and behold, you know, they kick it, and we don't do a good job fielding it, and they get it, and here we go again.
And luckily we're able to run the clock out there after that, and the bliss is back, and Camden ends up with the 35-33 victory. What a night. Holy cow. It was so much fun to watch that game. It was so much fun to watch that. Like you said before, it might have felt a little different had the outcome been different, but I couldn't imagine a better way to spend a few hours on a Friday night than in Chris Gilman Stadium last Friday.
It might have been more fun where you were sitting.
Probably than
where
so.
I was standing.
Probably so.
Again, I just said go ahead and blow somebody out, you know. And,
right.
But it was a very entertaining game, I'm sure, for our fans.
Again, I just can't reiterate enough about that. Is, you know, absolutely encapsulates Region 1 7A football and why it's so fun and so competitive. What did you think about as a whole throughout the game of how productive Richmond Hill's run game was? it definitely appeared to me to be, you know, kind of a, they obviously watched the Brunswick tape and, you know, kind of saw what worked with that Wildcat thing that they were doing where, you know, it's, they had the two guys back there where they would either snap to the quarterback or directly to Bliss. You know, what were your thoughts about how successful that was?
Well, I'm not pleased by it by any stretch. It wasn't anything we hadn't prepared for.
Sure.
But we knew it was the best thing they did. And so we prepared for it quite a bit because I felt like it was what they did best. And, you know, there was a point in that game, Mike, early that we were up 7-0. We held them again. And we were concerned that they were going to fake a punt. And so we went punt safe.
Right.
And, you know, our normal punt returner wasn't in the game. And the kid that went back, we had talked about not even putting anybody back. We, you know, went in. But in the heat of the moment, he went back to field it anyway and dropped it.
Yeah.
And gave them the ball, good field position. And I felt like had we fielded that punt and we were moving the ball on offense and we go score again and now we're up 14-0, it changed their ability to do what they wanted
sure.
to do with that Wildcat look. But when they got that turnover, they went right back to the Wildcat, got excited about it. And from that point on, we couldn't ever get them in a situation where they had to go to their passing game and their other types of offense. And so they just kept doing what they wanted and you know, kept
yes,
converting
sir.
Third and fourth downs. You know, had we gotten them behind two scores, I'm not sure they would have continued to do that. So, you know, it's something we got to work
crucial
on.
Play,
because,
yeah.
you know, everybody we play now has an offensive set like that. Every you know, all these spread teams have found out they can't run the ball in the spread. I've tried to tell them that for years and years. But, you know, so now everybody has mm-hmm. that package where they're it's a gap scheme,
bunch
we call
up.
It,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
just like we do on offense.
Of course.
Everybody has that package and tries to run it. But they ran it with some really good players.
All right, you're listening to the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. What about the play of your team were you most pleased with on Friday, Coach?
Their resolve.
Mm.
You know, we didn't play our best. There was no question, especially early in the game. I think we had three false starts, two fumbled snaps. Later on, we got called twice for lining up wrong in the backfield or on the offensive line. And those were just drive killers for us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't play great on defense. You know, we didn't tackle as well as we had been. But when it mattered, when we were down two scores, our kids found a way.
Yes,
and,
they did.
You know, that there is priceless. You know, all the other stuff, if you've got a team that doesn't quit, that believes they can, has confidence in each other and themselves and their coaches, that is priceless. And that's what, you know, when the game was over, that's what I was most thankful for.
All right, we'll be right back with the final segment of the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Now these words from our sponsor.
The best low country boil in Southeast Georgia? Mr. Shuck's Seafood. Also a dining room, full bar, and a full seafood market available. Fresh shrimp and live crabs. They were just swimming yesterday. Mr. Shuck Seafood, 107 Altama in Brunswick, right beside Van Vaden. Takeout available, 912-265-5959. Be sure to find us on Facebook. 13 years of serving folks just like you, and we're proud to say, let's go Wildcats!
Looking for the perfect place to watch the big game? Then check out Ops off of Exit 3 on I-95. Jumbo big screen HD TVs, 300-inch projector, and the most IPAs in Southeast Georgia. Not to mention the top craft beer selection anywhere in the Camden area. An extensive menu that includes pizza to burgers to wings. 1378 Boone Avenue in Kingsland. Just look for the big Ops star sign or call ahead 912-576-6880. Ops, your one and only true sports bar stop.
All right, welcome back to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. My name is Mike Spears. This segment is brought to you by Cunningham Jewelers and by Mr. Shuck's Seafood. So, Coach, before this game happened against Richmond Hill, I heard multiple conversations in multiple places, just as people you talk to, and I heard a lot of folks talk about our common opponent, New Hampstead, and how the difference in the you know, we beat them 51-7, and I think Richmond Hill won 28-26 or 26-24. And there was a lot of talk about, oh, well, you know, that's going to be kind of the measuring stick here And, you know, those things obviously aren't always good things to measure, you know, how the game is going to play out in real life. But did the kids see that and, you know, have any thoughts you think maybe that it wasn't going to be as difficult as it was? Or,
you know, I don't know
if they listen to those things.
It's hard to say. But, yeah, they're smarter about stuff like that than you think, you know. But it's hard to say if that had anything to do with, you know, maybe the off week, which I felt like we had a really good week in practice and all that. But, you know, we looked a little rusty, you know, at the beginning of the game. But, again, Richmond Hill's got a good football team. We had, you know, watched every one of their films. They had played great at times. And then other times they kind of played down to the level of their competition
sure.
a little bit. You know, the one, I guess, that scared me the most with them is they had beaten Effingham to death in their opening game. And, I mean, it wasn't even close. And then Effingham had turned around and beat Glen Academy really bad last week, who had just beaten Brunswick the week before. So,
right.
you know, some people might have been looking at New Hampstead. I was kind of looking at, well, they played this way against Effingham, who we know has got a good football team.
Absolutely.
You know, that beat Glenn, who beat Brunswick, you know, on and on and on. But, you know, it just, again, you can't get caught up in all that mess.
Sure.
You know, you just got to go out there and play the best you can, no matter who shows up.
So your sophomore quarterback, Parks Riando, continues to play well. He continues to look poised and comfortable. He's been really good with the ball security this season, too, it seems. How's he continuing to grow in your system?
Well, he has certainly played very well. I honestly felt like the other night might have been the worst game that he had played from a passing standpoint. And we talked to him about it. You know, Parks, the one thing about Parks is really jumps out at you. He is a tremendous competitor.
Yeah.
And he does not like to do things wrong. You know, he's really tough on himself. And so we challenged him, you know, okay, you've been through a Region 1 war now because I don't think he played as well as he had been playing.
Sure.
And I think knowing Parks, he will respond extremely favorably to that.
So, yeah, he's got resilience. Certainly, and you talked a little bit about this, resilience was really a key to this game. But, you know, what goes into maintaining that positivity and keeping their heads in the game when you really got those, you know, roller coaster ups and downs?
Well, it helps when your team's mature.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, 2 years ago, those kids, I hadn't been around them very long, and we lost, you know, 4 region games in the last minute. You know, we just didn't handle it well. Last year, we kind of were up and down a little bit with it, but we got better at handling. And then this year, I think these kids, you know, that are seniors now, they've gone through that a little bit, and they've learned that, you know, the game's not over. We just keep fighting and, you know, keep swinging, and we get a chance. And so I think the maturity of the kids that we had coming back has certainly helped us in that regard.
It ain't over till it's over. All right, Coach, we have a real challenge, obviously, coming in this Friday the 13th, by the way. The 6-0 Colquitt County Packers come into Chris Gilman to open their Region 1 7A schedule against us. I believe they're also coming off their open week. So you got a well-rested Packers team coming in here. What are you expecting from them?
Well, first of all, they got a great football team.
Yes.
You know, probably as prolific of an offense as I've seen in high school football. The only one I could compare it to, and I mentioned this earlier this morning, was when I was at T.L. Hanna and we played Dutch Fort in the state championship, and their offense was just phenomenal. And Colquitt reminds me of that offense.
Wow.
You know, everybody talks about Nia Carr, and they talk about Landon Thomas, and they're both great players, and, you know, Power 5 SEC players. But the quarterback is the straw that stirs the drink, and he is a tremendously talented kid, doesn't make mistakes, very accurate, can run the ball. And, you know, offensively, they just have so many weapons that, you know, you can't shut them all down. And, you know, I was asked the question, you know, how do you stop them? Well, you don't. You know, you hope to slow them down, to make them line up again, and you know, hopefully if they do something wrong. But, you know, last year we didn't do a very good job of that. You know, and then you turn around defensively, they're mm-hmm. extremely talented, fast and physical, not overly big, but they can all run and hit you and create a lot of havoc when they're on defense, and then they've got a great kicking game. So they have no weaknesses, and you know, They were the class of our region last year, beat everybody to death. And we're going to try to – we got to try – we get the first shot at trying to prove that maybe that's going to change. You know, then Valdosta and Lowndes and Richmond Hill get a shot at them. But right now they're still the king of the mountain.
That's right.
And, somebody's got to knock them off.
All right, you're listening to the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. So you talked about a couple players there from your film review. Is there anybody else that stands out to you? You know, we obviously got those few kids that are the top names, the ones that we know are going on to play at the next level. Is there anybody else that jumps out at you?
Well, in the last few weeks, they have receiver number 3 that is really coming on. And, you know, he's literally caught probably more passes than the other two in the last couple of weeks.
No kidding.
It's very exciting when he gets it. Their punt and kick returner, number 21. He made one of the best punt returns I've ever seen against Lincoln last week. And,
wow.
You know, they have athletes everywhere. There's, you know, again, I can name every starter for them that I've been impressed with, and they don't have a weakness.
So last week you talked about, you know, our Region 1 7A and how it might shake out. A lot of teams have a ton of returning players, as we do. But the barometer is really about who can close the gap on Colquitt. Do you think that your team has or is doing that?
I think we'll find out Friday night. You know, Mike, I told him, you know, last year in that first half was one of the most embarrassing halves of football that I've ever gone through as a coach, because I felt like, you know, when they got rolling, we just quit. And, you know, we gave in. We started shying away from them. And you know, that's not something that you ever want to have happen. You know, as a football coach.
Yes, sir.
And standing there and watching that is not what we want Camden County football to be all about. And very frustrated with how we played over there last year, how we acted last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, we've got to be better than that. And, you know, we've got to understand that we can play with them, and we've got to go out there and act like it. We didn't do that last year, so.
Right.
You know, I don't know. We'll find out. You know, we can talk about it all we want, but our kids have got to say, hey, you know, enough's enough. You know, I think it's been 10, almost 9 years since Camden has beaten Colquitt County. And, you know, I know I've had 2 shots at them since I came back and mm-hmm. lost one in overtime and lost one when we got off the bus last year, you know. But we were playing over there. It's a tough environment.
Absolutely.
And hopefully that'll help us a little bit this week as well.
Well, there's one thing we know in Region 1 7A, anything can happen. So the grueling schedule continues after this week. We head to Valdosta next week, then another open week, then finish up the season and our region play with a trip to Lowndes. You know, the region play is just starting to heat up now with our victory over Richmond Hill. Valdosta, you know, I'm sure you're aware, 137-27 over Lowndes last Friday. So, again, this Friday we have Colquitt. Valdosta plays Richmond Hill. We'll know a whole lot more about how this region will shape up by next week.
Well, you know, when you got 5 teams in it, you know, you kind of keep tabs on all
yes,
of them.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, we're fortunate we got off to a good start. But, you know, we don't need to stumble right now. You know, we did last year, and we were able to fight back, but we don't want to put ourselves in that situation. We just soon go on and become 2-0 if we can.
That'd be great. Coach, thank you so much, as always, for giving me a couple minutes of your time this morning. I really appreciate it, as always, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael.